Welcome to Interceptor Beyond Podcast. My name is Arthur, and today on the episode we have the one, the only, the Tiger Lilies. This band is really cool. Anyways, don't forget to follow this podcast on Spotify or any platform if you dig it, and rate this show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Last time I said podcasts, so I'm sticking with it. Podcasts. Anyways, let's talk to the Tiger Lilies. My introduction to the Tiger Lilies is I heard the music sometime in 2003-04. I heard the Bully Boys, and this song actually scared me. And actually, the whole band scares me. It's a scary band. It's an unusual band. It's it's completely unique band. The music is completely unique. I would think so, and that's what I like about it. So at the moment you are right in the middle of touring, right? You're coming in to Vienna, Austria in April.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Couple of nights at Porgy and Bess, I think.
Yes, you have two nights in Porgy and Bess on April 13th and 14th, and then you go to St. Pölten, Salzburg, and then Bad Schallerbach, and then Innsbruck. So that people can buy tickets. Actually, there are no more sitting tickets at Porgy and Bess. There's only standing tickets, so it's almost sold out.
Good.
Oh, that's nice.
Good to know. Yeah. What are you going to play?
Old songs.
Yeah. Right.
Old songs.
Hits.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Hits. Yeah. Some of the hits. Yeah. Yeah. All the misses.
I heard that you never rehearse for the show.
Well, no, we do a bit these days, a little bit. We do not very much, but we do rehearse more. But we do, don't we?
I mean, when we used to do like a couple of hundred gigs a year, rehearsing was a bit kind of A, impossible to even fit in, and B, we were just kind of continuously playing. Whereas now, you know, we're not quite as relentless in our touring schedule. I think, you know, when we're doing different shows, we try and at least kind of, you know, put in a bit of rehearsal time so that we're, you know, so we feel more relaxed when we're on stage. I mean,
yeah.
I think just we used to be really crazily busy, and it just was pointless rehearsing because we were just always on the road. So
yeah.
Now that we're not quite so, you know, so active, you know, we do need to kind of put in a bit of time to try and also, you know, you want to play the songs as well.
Yeah.
So yes, we do play. We do occasionally. We've conceded rehearsal might be necessary occasionally.
Yeah. I've mellowed with age, and there was a time when I was young, when I was I used to torture Adrian and the drummers, because I just started playing a new song on stage. But of course, Boody is that still happens because Boody hasn't been playing with us for very long, so we play songs which he's never heard on a almost nightly basis. Don't we, Boody?
That's true. I've got a good list of songs here. This is what you need to know. So I've got into those songs after I joined the band. Still, almost every night when we play a live concert, the two start a song which I've never heard before in my life. So I have to join and, find my way through it. And it's very challenging, but it's good fun. It's very good fun.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be a really good drummer to play with the Tiger Lilies, considering all the songs that they have of 35 years, the whole...
Yeah, well, you have to be on your toes. You never know what comes up next, and you have to prepare a little. But then, it's good fun. It's.
But was it hard for you to get into the rhythm of the Tiger Lilies?
I'd love to say yes. It's horrible working with these two guys, but I can't because they're here and they're listening. No, it's
I can disconnect them if you want to.
Yes, come on then. No, it's I'm not we're of the same age group, so I've got my experience of touring live with other bands. So it went pretty smoothly. Okay, this is the schedule. It's a lot. But it's not unusual. No, it's good. working.
What was your experience with them? Did it ever happen to you that when you're playing drums and then all of a sudden, like, what the hell is going on, guys? I mean, what? Is this normal for you? I'm what?
Well, I've played in bands where every note, every beginning, every ending, every speed of every song was detailed, scheduled, and it's all never played differently. Place for improvisation. But when I started out as a teenager, we played in a skiffle band. I don't know if you remember that. There was a skiffle craze in the 80s in Europe. And so we did that. And it reminds me a little bit of that, having really not much experience in music and following the singer. And if a singer speeds up, okay, we all speed up. If a singer slows down or makes a break or adds another verse, that's what the band has to do. It's a jazz approach somehow. It's very enjoyable.
And yeah, I mean, the whole band is based, not based, but has a lot of influences from jazz, from, I mean, a lot of improvisation is involved in the band. I guess. I mean, I've never been to a live show, I have to say. I've only heard the music as a recording, which is actually really good to listen in the public transport, which is funny.
You work for it.
Being me, a little bit of misanthropic, it's perfect.
I have to try that.
it's absolutely great. The crack of doom or fire in public transport, in a tube, it's absolutely great. Actually, like when I was thinking about the Tiger Lilies, how to explain it to the people, I would explain it as, imagine getting completely pissed one night and then waking up with a horrible hangover. And you have all these deities of these musicians out there as hallucinations commenting on your daily life, something like that.
Okay,
that's my personal experience.
Well, in a way, the band sometimes tells you thoughts you shouldn't speak out, but the band takes over and speaks out a few ideas that you can have about other people while riding on a tube.
It's your subconscious talking to you in
dead silence. Yes, in a way, yes. Your subconscious is speaking.
So, and I guess you don't do a set list during the performance.
Well, we are kind of running a set list. I mean, it's funny, we've kind of gone in reverse. I mean, you know, we've gone from kind of never using set lists to actually using set lists because we never really did in the beginning. And now we kind of almost have kind of gone back to, like, you know, that, I think, just because I think structure, and also when you're dealing with so many songs, you know, once you get past about 30 albums, I think, you know, if you're going to do a set, it's, you probably need to work out what songs you're going to have to brush up on. Though we still do get called out songs that we haven't played for 20 years, and sometimes we can pull them off. Like the other day, we did Heinrich, which was from Farmyard Filth, which Martin, we haven't played live for 20 odd years, and we managed to do about 85% of it, really, which was pretty good.
Well, maybe not 85.
80, okay, 75. There was a verse missing, but, you know, still. Yeah, so I think we are using set lists now a bit more, but there's always the potential to throw in a few random songs, and we still ask people for encore suggestions, and we will try virtually anything, even if it's only like kind of like, you know, a verse or a chorus or something like that, just to try.
Yeah, I checked out. There's a service set list that records all your set lists of the bands that are doing during the shows over the years, and I could see sometimes people were asking for something completely unexpected for the encore.
Yeah,
I think we did we even manage to do a little bit of Thousand Violins, and we all did
a bit. Yeah, yeah, I kind of sort of did. We got through the sort of first verse and chorus.
First verse, yeah.
How does it feel after the COVID? Because it was a long time when nobody were playing live. I read an interview that Martin had to remember some tricks how to perform live, how to deal with the audience. That's what I mean. What kind of tricks do you usually have?
What do you mean tricks?
I guess something like to warm up the audience or how to deal with the audience during the live performance.
We just start playing, really. There's no real kind of tricks.
Maybe it was just a bit weird being in front of an audience again after so long away. It just kind of took you time to get used to the sensation. And, you know, Martin's trick used to be just shutting his eyes. That was always his trick kind of back in the early days. It's like, you know, rather than look at the audience, he'd shut his eyes and just kind of go off somewhere. So we'd be playing in all these pubs and people would be like curling their fists and throwing things, or girls would be, you know, exposing themselves at some points, and he'd be completely oblivious.
Oh, I wouldn't have minded keeping my eyes open for those bits, actually. In fact, I remember we did a gig in the Torture Garden in London. It was it's like a fetish club, and there was about there were all these girls, and apparently that was it, wasn't it? They were all fleshing us, and I never saw a thing.
But I guess it was not the weirdest experience. I mean, it's a pleasant experience, but I guess you were invited to many private shows or like birthday parties or shows. I mean, what was the weirdest experience?
There's some quite weird ones. I remember being invited by the Rothschilds to play on the river, and they all arrived in their helicopters, and then we performed to the Rothschilds.
And you performed the Crack of Doom for them.
I remember I performed a specially obscene set. I went through all the songs and found all the filthiest, most obscene songs, and I sang them to the Rothschilds, and they were all standing like just a few feet away from me, and they were all drinking their cocktails. We had a really expensive PA system and everything, and which was turned down to zero. And then I was singing these obscene lyrics at these bankers' heads, and they all just carried on drinking their cocktails like I wasn't there, apart from one old lady, who I think must have been the one that got us the gig, and she actually cheered loudly at the end of the first song, but then shut up because nobody else did. That was a strange one.
Yeah, it's pretty strange on all kinds of levels. Probably, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, there are so many questions regarding that, but I mean, I hope they paid well.
Oh, they certainly did.
It would be funny if they paid not really well, or the Rothschild.
But we weren't allowed to mix. We had to stay in the kitchen.
Actually, it was one of the questions I had. Is like you mentioned some time ago that in the beginning you were treated as a musician as beggars because you're busking. And at what point did it change? But when you mentioned that, sometimes it doesn't. It comes back.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think. You know, I mean, I think if you kind of have this sort of persona of a street performance, which is kind of something that we've sort of seemed to have a bit of this kind of, I mean, we never really, we busked.
You used to bust before the Tiger Lilies, didn't you?
I bust a lot before the Tiger Lilies, but I mean, the Tigers were never a busking band that went out and like made its living by playing on the streets. I mean, we kind of had an air of it, if you will, but people kind of assume that that's kind of what we were. For instance, like when we did Jules Holland show, they kind of basically said, well, there's nowhere for you to stand, so Martin stand on the piano and you guys just stand round it. They kind of treated us like we were, because we don't have amplifiers and big keyboards and all this sort of equipment. They kind of assume that you're somehow this itinerant street performer, which is not, you know, the persona definitely, you know, might lend itself to that, but they don't necessarily assume that you need much because you haven't got much. The simplicity in a way kind of confuses them. You know, I think it's a bit like the blues guys when they came for the first time to England and they had electric guitars and everyone was horrified. So they came back the next time with like overalls and acoustic guitars and everyone was horrified because they had these assumptions about who they were and what this music was, you know. So I think, you know, if you have a particular kind of character sometimes, you can get pushed into an area.
Yeah, that's what was my next question. It's like, do you get sometimes stuck in the Tiger Lilies universe? I mean, the image of it that you created over the years. No, I'm not stuck, but you know, like there's a public, there's a way how people view you. So
difficult to say whether how people view us. We always try to create a bit of a kind of a confusing. Are we sort of from a cabaret place? Are we from an opera? Is it from a theatre show? Are we kind of like, you know, street performers? It's circus. You know, we can move quite fluidly, I think, between all of those things because we're not one thing. We can fit into any different, lots of different categories, I think, easily enough. So I think it's actually quite freeing. We don't have, we're not heavy metal. You know, Roni can play heavy metal venues, heavy metal songs, heavy metal, you know, kind of, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, I think a lot of bands do get stuck in a genre, whereas we've never really fitted into any genre.
Yeah, you don't fit in any genre. You're completely on the side, but you have your own voice, but it took quite a while to find it.
Yeah.
And what kind of people usually come to the shows?
It's a wide range of all ages, it's my impression. Their parents are coming and they bring their children, 10 years old sometimes. Maybe they bring their grandparents as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is because the topics that you cover are universal. They're not really focused. I mean, they you don't comment on the like really current events except maybe the COVID albums, the songs, but there's nothing about the technology or robots or something like this or computer. It's more about the universal feeling about all this.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of the subjects we deal with are very contemporary. Poverty, crime, injustice, all the political, you know, movement. I think you know, we are kind of we're social realists in a sense, but not kind of maybe, you know, we're social commentators, social realists, but we don't kind of like talk about the specific events happening in the news apart from maybe this, you know, Ukraine and things like that. And the COVID thing was obviously quite a unique thing. It needed a unique reaction, I think, really. So I don't know. Maybe more robots, Martin. Need any more robots, more science fiction, AI. You talk about AI. That's what everyone cares about.
Hey, yes, I didn't even know what that was until about 2 weeks ago.
I always thought it's Amnesty International.
Yeah. Well, it is that as well, isn't it?
Now you need to start talking about crypto and AI.
Oh, please don't. You know, I already have like enough of that stuff in my life because I talk about AI a lot.
Okay.
But no, I need something to escape from reality. I want to the world of whores, prostitutes.
Exactly.
Backstabbing killers.
All the fun stuff
that I can listen.
That stuff that's been going on for hundreds, thousands of years, not this fly-by-night cryptocurrency bullshit.
Sex and violence and death.
That's what they want.
Yeah. It might be a stupid question, but how do you know if the song is good? Like, what kind of reaction do you get from the audience during the live performance? Why I'm asking is because you're a different band. You play in a theater, right? For example, I have more experience in rock concerts, and I can see the reaction from the rock concerts. But in a theater, especially when it's seated, it's a bit different. How do you know what is working or not?
Martin?
I think you feel it. I think you can tell when the song's not very good. You can feel the energy. You can start to feel there was a bit of a. They don't really react or make any sound. They just sort of sit there, and I think they get. They're a bit kind of. You can feel. I think you can feel not exactly bored. They're not bored, hopefully, but they are a little bit bored. You know. So yeah. Whereas when you do a good song, the people respond. Verbally or laugh or, you know.
What's the best reaction you can get from an audience?
Well, with us, I think the best thing is when you get the different reactions, you know, so you get people and they cry and then they laugh and then they feel a bit uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah.
So you make them feel, all sorts of.
Yeah, I mean, the best reaction would be, you know, lots of people laugh, some people start a fight, and half people walk out.
Probably don't start fights quite so much as they used to, but there was a time when we used to have a bit of that as well, yeah.
Is Tiger Lilies a good wedding band?
Good what band?
A wedding band.
A wedding band. We've done a few weddings,
And we also did a christening once, but I think that was someone's sick joke. And I I've also read people have several people have said they'd like us for their funerals. Going to hell was a particular popular one. So when the coffin goes into the flames, you have Going to Hell playing.
We hope it's going to be a growth market. Playing funerals. You know, I think, you know, probably our wedding band days are probably slightly behind us now, because most of our bands are probably, you know, either divorced or nearly dead. So hopefully we're going to start getting those, you know, those juicy, you know, memorial funerals bookings coming in quite, you know, a few times a year coming up.
We had a priest once. He was missing a hand, and he had a hook where his hand should have been. And he was dancing to Banging in the Nails. That was at a wedding as well. He just married the couple.
Actually, like the question I want to ask is, like, because of the topics that you sing about and the music is about, it's like, do you get some weird people approaching the band and telling the stories about their life? I'm pretty sure it happens all the time.
Weird people. Adrian Hughes, the original drummer, he used to have this noise, he made this noise every time a strange person was there, and he'd say, "It rhymes with butter." He'd always say that. Yes, we've had some weird people over the years, because especially as we let people, especially as we always sign CDs afterwards, so we actually get to meet the people as well.
Yeah, I read your rider. It's a great rider, actually. It's a great experience. You can see the story of the band in the rider. And yeah, you sell merch and you sign CDs after the show. You're always there.
That's right. So everyone gets a chance to insult us.
Yes, and you have three lagers there. Beers are ready, waiting for you. It was a really modest rider, actually.
Oh, we used to be more extravagant, though. We used to have bottles of whiskey on there and everything else, like
cocaine,
dwarves, and all sorts.
Oh, yeah, regarding that, it's like you also do a lot of theater performances, and you played in all kind of places, like circus kind of performances. What was the wildest ones?
Yeah, but you did a theater one, didn't you, where they had this limelight and you were on, didn't you, thought you were going to die because you were doing some theater performance years ago where there was like big explosions or something? Or
I can't remember.
Really, really early, like on your own. It was a solo thing where you'd like some Julian.
Oh, that one. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. It was a sort of a live, sort of theatre thing. And they were blowing things up. And I was wandering around and things were exploding.
You didn't like that very much. I mean, we did a theatre show in Prague where we had a live pig run across the stage every night. That was pretty weird. And
we started that one by showing our asses, didn't we?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
The curtain was drawn and we all had to show our asses. Poor audience.
There was that one. I mean, theatre's a bit more, you know, it's hard to do something that wild, I think, when you've got lots of people and it's a bit more, you know, structured. We did that thing in the castle in Poland, didn't we, where there was all the woman in the bath doing Hamlet, and there was little people running around, and you, it was kind of, there's always like weird theatre things, but mostly they're kind of fairly organised.
One of the shows was all about children, and they all did mild misdemeanours, and I used to scream dead. Every one of them died at the end. I used to scream dead at the audience. And then we did that in Chicago just after 9/11. And I started screaming dead at the audience every night. And they didn't like it much because they're all in shock from the from 9/11. And that was one of our greatest theatre triumphs, was it?
When you tell me about your experiences, it's you don't know if it's part of the song or it's your life. It's like it's so mixed together, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, you've been in the show business for a long time, and you've seen a lot, and you've learned a lot. What you wish you could have known when you started?
Oh God, that's a... Go on, Adrian. You got any ideas?
I could say, to start it off, maybe, I could say I wish I had known how much a show can. You're on stage, you're doing your show, and then you're done, and you smile a little in Cell OCD, but they've just experienced so much, and they want to tell you immediately, and they open up their heart, and you get the full life story in 1 minute, and then I go home depressed and busy in my head of what I just heard. Prepared me for that. So I wish I had known or learned somewhere to handle those moments where people, open up to you and you don't, in a way, that's not what I came for, but that's life. You move them and they want to give you something back. And here's my life. It's all spoiled. Do something with it.
Adrian, did you learn anything?
No. No, I haven't learned anything in my long musical career. I've learned nothing. I think I know less now than I did before, and I think I'm kind of okay with that. I think I think, you know, obviously when you're young, you kind of have preconceptions. I think the only thing you can learn after a while is don't bother having any. And one thing I did learn, I think I have learned, is like some things, most things are not forever. You know, you're not going to keep. You know, you should be grateful when you are doing something, because you might not do it ever again. You know, we used to go places and we never go to them again, or we did shows and then we never do them again. There's a sort of sense of that kind of awareness that, you know, that things are quite fleeting sometimes is something you kind of assume that you're going to keep doing. You go somewhere you like, you know, oh, I'm going to go back there again and again and again, and then you never do. Or you see some people and you never see them again and stuff. So I think there's a certain, it's not fatalism, but I think there's just awareness that when you are doing something good, it is good. And you should be aware that it's good and accept that it won't necessarily be going to happen again in some sort of way or another.
And maybe something to watch out for like, because I'm trying to ask questions, like I want experienced musicians to share a little bit of their knowledge, if they could, for the starting musicians, maybe something to watch out for in the show business.
When you start out, it's also very special, and you don't realize, because it's probably quite hard, but it is very special especially when you're starting out, because it is kind of most exciting time. You are going to be kind of have more fun, you know, in the initial stages than you are probably going to do once you actually, if you carry on past a certain point, you know, it is going to be probably more of a laugh. You know, we used to have a great laugh driving around Germany with, you know, in an old ambulance freezing to death, you know, in the 90s, and then going to the Czech Republic and, you know, all these sorts of things, and, you know, sleeping on floors. It's all great. It's a laugh. It really is good and very special. And also the time you do it is usually quite special. You don't realize that, you know, 20 years later, that time is going to seem like something kind of very exotic to people. You know, they think about the 90s now and 2000s as some exotic period where, you know, things weren't as, you know, didn't have mobile phones and you didn't have, you know, all this kind of technology, and it was kind of, you were free to kind of, you know, live a different way. Who knows what it's going to be like in 20 more years time when people are, musicians are kind of going around. They might look at this as some sort of golden era where, you know, the internet was free and, you know, you didn't have to have a chip put in your head. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. I mean, I just think it's just, you know, young. I mean, it's hard when you're young. You always think that everything's like, you know, it's kind of annoying or it's, you know, it's going to stay the same, and it doesn't.
I think it's important to know if you're starting out as a musician, that's what I've learned. Every night is this one night only. And once you, if you play only 50% or you feel bored while you're doing the gig, that's not for you then. It's the wrong band, or you shouldn't become a musician. You need to play 100% or even more every night. Otherwise, the audience feels it immediately. If you're just playing half-heartedly, they realize and that you don't get the response, and then it's not worth it. They might have paid money for it as a young musician, but maybe they haven't. But they're still there to be enthused, to have something, to experience something. And if you don't give them something to experience, you shouldn't be on stage. Maybe
hard to give it.
Have to give it all every night.
Great advice. All right, guys, I don't want to bother you too much. The shows in Vienna are happening in April 13th and 14th.
Yeah.
Everybody should buy tickets. And in the end, I always ask if you could give me a song, in your case, the Tiger Lily song that should play at the end of the episode. Which song is a good introduction to the band?
This is Banging in the Nails by the Tiger Lilies. ¶¶
Thank you, the Tiger Lilies. And thank you, dear listener, for staying till the end. Don't forget to follow this podcast if you dig it. More stuff to come. Until next time. Bye.